So this morning we're going to be thinking about what Christmas means to me. Not to me, but to all of us really. What does Christmas mean? And last week, if you were our festive family carols, I think we called it, Annie and Beth went out into the streets of Norwich and asked around, asked people what they thought Christmas was about. And the general answer was things like food, family, and presents. Those were the sort of the normal sort of things that people answer, because that is what Christmas is about. And it's quite interesting as we think about what Christmas means. In a minute, we're just going to watch a video. It's from a band called Pentatonix, okay? And they sing beautiful a cappella music. And it's astounding what they sing. And they sang this one particular song a few years ago, which is called That's Christmas to Me. And the song sort of follows the sort of the normal things you might expect from people. They sing about presents under the Christmas tree, mum and dad sharing a kiss underneath the mistletoe, the joy of family. And then they sort of end with this bit. So it's just going to come up on the screen. It's all about this. So let's just have a little watch.
That's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. And then for years to come, we'll always know one thing. That's the love that Christmas can bring. That's Christmas to me.
So it's just a short little clip, but the end of it sort of says quite a lot about what they think. I'll just tell you what, I'll read it out. So they say, oh, the joys that fills their hearts and make us see, oh why, that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. And then for years to come, we'll always know one thing. That's the love that Christmas can bring. So after talking about all of these presents and sharing a kiss and stockings and family and all that kind of thing, they talk about love, but they miss something out, don't they? I think it's great being able to share with family, to being able to share things and do all that kind of thing, and to be able to give presents. But it doesn't make any sense without the reason for Christmas going behind it. And this morning, we're going to look at what Christmas actually is. What is that love? What does it look like for us? What does it mean for us? And how does it come out in the Christmas story? And our young church have got some little dramas to show us a bit later on as we look through three things which we often think about at Christmas. We think about family, we think about sharing, and we think about presents.
Hello, I'm Daniel. You join me today on the streets of Bethlehem as we try and find out what Christmas means to some people. There's a family over there. Excuse me, can I have a moment of your time to ask you a quick question?
Sure. The baby is asleep and doesn't need feeding for a bit.
Great. We're trying to find out what Christmas means to some people.
Well, for us, I think it has to be family. Our son was born on Christmas, you see. We had to travel to Bethlehem because Caesar wanted to find out how many people were in his empire. We came home to be counted, but we almost didn't make it.
Oh, yes?
Yes, you see, we were going to be married, but one night an angel appeared to me and told me that I was blessed by God and was going to have a special baby that would be God's chosen kin.
I was worried because my girlfriend was expecting a baby and we weren't married yet. Then an angel came to see me too. He explained that the baby was a special baby sent from God to save the world. And we had to call him Jesus because that means God saves.
Oh, wow. So Christmas really is about family for you then?
Yes, it's about the special baby just here who God says will change the whole world.
So family. Christmas is all about family. And for some people, it's a great part of Christmas, isn't it? It's a great time to be able to see your family that you haven't seen for a while. I'll see my brother who lives in Northern Ireland, my brother who lives in Wickham, my sister who lives in Walsall, and my mum and dad who live in Stafford. We'll all see each other in one place for the only time I think we'll see each other this year. We'll all see it, and it's a great time. But for others, it's a time of sadness, perhaps of loss, of heartbreak, of loneliness, and it's not easy. But thinking about that Christmas family, the main family at Christmas, helps us as we think about family. You see, actually, the family at Christmas, Mary and Joseph, they had a bit of a rough time of it, really, didn't they? So first of all, you had like Mary being pregnant, Joseph not wanting to marry her, not wanting to embarrass her, not wanting to get into a kind of like a sticky situation. So he sort of thinks, oh, I'll quietly sort of get by. And then you've got a pregnant Mary having to travel all the way to Bethlehem. And then you've got, when they get to Bethlehem, there's nowhere for them to stay. And, you know, the baby's just about to pop. And what's going to happen? Fortunately, a friendly innkeeper says that there's a space with the animals. And so they get it. They're really normal people. They're just everyday sort of Mr. and Mrs. Israel, really. They were sort of just fairly standard people. But they were part of God's massive plan. They were part of God's plan that had happened right from the beginning of creation to save his people from their sins. That's why he said to Joseph, call the baby Jesus, because Jesus means God saves. And that is what Jesus was going to do. God's chosen one was going to come. In the Bible reading, it calls him the Messiah. The Messiah has come. He is God's chosen one who is going to save people. And that's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive on its own, that God was going to save people from their sins. But it doesn't stop there. Okay, because the message to the angels, which I didn't read earlier, which I'll read now. Okay, the angel says to Joseph, he says this, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the family that Christmas is all about is kind of Mary and Joseph, but actually, the family that Christmas is all about is God. It is God's family, because Jesus was God's son, but Jesus was also God. And that's like, I struggle to get my head around that, because that's something huge. Because God, who made the whole world, God who made me, and God who made donuts, and God who made Christmas dinner, and God who made everything, came down as a little baby. A little baby who did all the things that normal little babies do. He came down as a baby to save us. That is what Christmas means for family. It's the fulfillment of a prophecy that was made hundreds of years before Jesus. God came down as a baby to save people from their sins. And that is why Christmas is all about family. We're going to look at somewhere in a little bit, but let's just pray to begin with, shall we? Not to begin with, but as we carry on. This morning we're going to pray for three things. First of all, we're going to do some thank you prayers, because it's always good when we come to pray to God to remember to say thank you. I think so often we can go to God with a list of things and we forget to say thank you for some of the simple things that he gives us. So let's just have a moment of quiet. Just think about some of the things that have perhaps happened in the last week, or something that's going to be happening in this coming week that you want to say thank you for, and then I'll pray together. So let's just pray. Dear God, thank you for all of the good things that you give us. Thank you for the food that we can share, this time together that we can share, remembering Jesus. But thank you that you love us. Thank you that you sent Jesus to save us so that we can be your friends forever. Amen. Now, you've got the privilege to have a special treat this morning, particularly the young church have been practicing hard, and they're going to come up and sing us two songs now that help us to understand the Christmas story again. So,
sing and worship the King, shout and sing and worship the King, Jesus. Jesus is born, he's such good news. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. Shout and sing.
I'm on the outskirts of Bethlehem, trying to find someone to answer our question, what is Christmas to you? Here are some friendly looking saps. Excuse me, fellas, would you mind answering a question for me?
Sure thing.
The question is, what does Christmas mean to you?
Ooh, that's a toughie, but I think we'll have to say it's about having, giving and sharing and receiving.
I bet you guys have to sweat a lot when you're out looking after your sheep at night. Food and fire and stuff.
We sure do, but we just meant to share some great news. One night we were sat out washing our sheep. I meant watching our sheep when an angel appeared.
It freaked us out, but the angel told us not to be afraid. He had some great news for us. He told us that a baby had been born, and not just any old baby, but the Messiah, the chosen one from God, and we would find him in a manger, a place where they fed animals.
He sounds pretty cool. Did you go and see him?
We did, but as we were setting off, a whole load of angels appeared, and they sang a song saying how great God is.
We went and found this baby, and it was such great news that we couldn't help but share it.
That's what we were meant by sharing, like an angel. We have good news to share. God's chosen one has been born.
I don't know about you, but we have to share a lot of things at Christmas, don't we? We have to share presents, food, terrible cracker jokes. I don't know what it is about them. You cannot not read them, can you? Even though they are terrible and you know them all already, there's something about them, you just have to read them. But anyway, those are some good things. Well, good things we have to share. Sometimes we might not want to share something. Maybe we don't want to share that new Lego set that you've just got for Christmas. You don't want to share it with your siblings, or in my case, your children, because, you know, it's my Lego, they can't touch it. Who knows? Maybe you've got to share your bedroom because great aunt Bertha has come to stay and she's in your bed. Or, you know, there's loads of different things that we've got to share. And lots of people do share things. People go and share things with people who are less fortunate at Christmas. One of Thea's teachers at school was telling us how on Christmas Day she's going to go and take some food to a homeless shelter because that's a nice thing to do at Christmas, isn't it? Because there's part of us that just likes to share. That is sort of inbuilt in us, that it's good to share things, particularly with people who are less fortunate than us. And it's not a bad thing. Sharing isn't bad. Helping isn't bad. And they're all good things to do. But as we share the food this Christmas, as you're reading out that terrible cracker joke, or as you're trying to share your Lego with your brother or sister, remember that actually Christmas is more about that, more than that. It's about sharing something brilliant. Like that song said, shout with the shepherds, because they just can't shut up. And that is what the shepherds had to share. They've got good news that they can't not share. And to begin with, it was brought by an angel. The news was so good, God sent one of his massive, freaky angels down to earth to tell the shepherds about the news. And you can tell he was a bit scary because the angels were scared. The angels? The shepherds. The shepherds were scared because the angel was scary. There you go. I'll get it right. The shepherds were really scared by this angel because, you know, it's a big guy who was like shiny and scary. But he came with really important news. He came and told them, the chosen one has been born. The one that God has promised for years and years, the one who would save Israel, has been born. He's not anywhere special. He's down in Bethlehem, just down the road, and you can go and see him. And now, I think it's brilliant, actually, that the shepherds were the first people to go and see Jesus. Because the shepherds, they weren't special. They were kind of a bit stinky because they lived out in the fields. But those were the first people that God wanted to go and see his chosen one. It wasn't the king. It wasn't the priest or anything like that. It was just the normal shepherds. And actually, they were so impressed that they had to go and see this baby. They couldn't not do it. They were like, they rushed down to do it. But as they were rushing off, a massive load of angels came and they just started singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men. It's the greatest Christmas song ever, but that hasn't ever managed to be recorded yet. But they did it because the news of the God's chosen special one needed that fanfare because it was such good news. And they ran down and saw the baby. And on the way back, they shared the news with everybody they saw. They couldn't not tell people because they were so amazed that they had got to see God's chosen one, the one who was going to save the world. And they went around sharing the news. And actually, we're a bit like shepherds. We're a bit like shepherds. Some of us smell. Some of us have got beards. But that's not why we like shepherds. We like shepherds because we've been invited to go and see this new baby. We've been invited to go and see God's chosen one. And we can read about him. We're privileged because the shepherds could actually go and see him. But we can read all about him in the Bible. And so we can go and see this special chosen one. But also, like the shepherds, knowing that Jesus has come to save us from our sins, knowing that he is God's promised one, we shouldn't be able to shut up about it. It should be such good news that we can't shut up. Because Jesus has come to save people from their sins. And that should be the most exciting thing that we want to share. Better than getting Lego for Christmas, which we want to write about. Better than putting a picture of our Christmas dinner on Instagram. Better than, I don't know, writing thank you letters. They're terrible to write sometimes. Better than all that news that we want to share is the news that God came down as a little baby to save us. So family is important because it's about that special family, God's family. And sharing is important because there's good news to shout about. And we're going to look at our third one in a little bit. We're going to look at our presents in a little bit. We're going to pray again, and then we're going to sing. So this time, when we pray, it's good to say thank you, but it's also good to say sorry. Because it's a realization that we mess up. Every week, every day, we do things that we know that God doesn't want us to do. And so it's right that we say sorry to God for when we mess up. So we're going to do that now. And again, in a moment of quiet, I just want you to think back over your week. Think about those times when you've done what you want to do, not what God wants to do. Maybe you've been a bit mean to your brother or sister. Maybe you've not done what your mum and dad have said. Maybe you've thought unkind thoughts. Let's just have a think back over our week. And in your hearts, just say sorry for the things that you have done that you know would displease God. Lord God, we all mess up. We all do things that we know that you don't want. So we say sorry for those things. We say sorry for when we ignore people who need help. We say sorry for when we do things that we know that you don't want us to do. But we can say sorry knowing that you forgive us. We know that you sent Jesus to forgive us. And so we thank you that you forgive us when we say sorry. Amen.
Here I'm just outside the Royal Palace in Jerusalem with some foreign visitors. Hi guys, so what's Christmas to you?
It's about presents for us.
Did you get anything nice?
Not presents for us, but presents that we're giving to someone. We're stargazers and we saw a star that told us a new king had been born. So we packed up our presents and headed off following the star.
So what presents are you taking to the new king?
We got gold, frankincense and myrrh.
The gold I get because you would give that to a king, but the other two are a bit odd to give to a baby.
Yes, they are, but they're presents which we think show what this new king can expect. Gold to show his kingship, frankincense because he's a special priest, and myrrh because he's going to die.
But you've just come out of the palace. How come you didn't give the new king his gifts?
Well, he wasn't there. We got here and we thought that the obvious place for a new king would be in the royal palace. But he wasn't. In fact, the current king knew nothing of it and had to get his wise people to look in his holy books to find out.
I think he was a bit jealous, really.
So he told us where to go and find this special king in a little not-important town called Bethlehem. And that's where we're off to now.
Great. Well, I've heard a lot about this child at Bethlehem. I wonder if they're all the same one.
So in the video that we watched at the Family Carols last week, loads of people answered when they asked what was Christmas to you. They all answered presents. Actually, pretty much all of them answered presents. Even if they were joking, they still said it. And I think most of us, when we think about Christmas, one of the first things we think about is about presents. Whether it's what present am I going to get, or what present am I going to ask for, or what present am I going to give to somebody that I like or don't like. If you don't like them, you give them a bit of a funny present, don't you? But loads of people think about presents at Christmas. And even if we think about it jokingly, actually, present is a big part of Christmas. And we've seen from our little mini sketch again that actually in that first Christmas, there were three very strange presents. It was a bit like if I went this Christmas and gave Emily, Mark, Ben or Joshua, remember them all, they're all the new babies at church. If I gave them a bit of bling necklace or some perfume or a bottle of formaldehyde, it's a bit like that. It's a bit of, you wouldn't give formaldehyde something you like keep dead bodies in, by the way, for little people who don't know what formaldehyde is. It's a bit of a weird present to give, isn't it? So why on earth were these wise men giving this baby three very peculiar presents? Well, it's because this is no ordinary baby. This baby, as our wise men in our mini sketch have said, was going to be a king, he was going to be a special priest, and he was going to die a special death. So these wise men, let me tell you a little bit about them. They were stargazers. They lived a long way away, and they'd been looking at the stars, and they'd seen a new star, and they knew that that meant there was going to be a king, a new king born. And they had to go and see him. They had to go and see the new king. So they packed their stuff up, they packed their presents, and off they go. They get to the royal palace. This is a picture of what it might have looked like, perhaps. They get to the royal palace, and they go to see Herod. And Herod gets a bit jealous, because Herod is king. He doesn't want anybody else to be king. He wants to stay king. So he concocts this plan to send the wise men off, come back and tell him where the baby is so that he can get rid of this baby. But anyway, the wise men set off and they find the king in a little house. By now, this baby wasn't so much of a baby. It was a small boy. And they find him in a little house in a little town with no guards, with no red carpet, with no servants, but just in a little house, born to a young mum and a young dad. And they give the baby the presents. The gold, a gift fit for a king. The frankincense, well, it was like a fragrant incense that was used by the priests as they interceded, as they talked to God on behalf of people. And myrrh, well, that was, again, another perfume type thing, but it was used to get dead bodies ready for burial. And they knew that this child was God's chosen king. They knew that this child was God's chosen king who was going to mediate, who was going to liaise between God and man, who was going to make it possible for people to come before God. And they knew that this child was going to be one who would make the ultimate sacrifice. He would have a life that would end in pain and would end in death. But that is how Jesus was going to achieve being a king and being a priest. He was going to do it by dying on the cross. He was going to sort out the problem of sin once and for all by dying on the cross, by coming back to life again, and by ascending into heaven. All of those things show us that he is God's chosen king. He is the king who has come to save us. So what does Christmas mean to me? If I was to put it in one sentence, it would be, God has come to save. That is, I guess, the simplest way I could describe Christmas. God himself has come to earth to save us. He's come to make us his friends forever. He's come to make it so that we can share with him forever. We can be knowing his love and that nothing can take that away from us. So this Christmas, as you sit down and you perhaps share food with family and friends, as you open your presents or as you give them to other people, as you do all the other things that come with Christmas, just think about Jesus. Think about the fact that God himself came to earth as a little baby to save you. He wants you to be his friend. And it's not, you know, God is, you know the saying, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. Well, God is for life, not just for Christmas. God is for eternal life. And at Christmas, he comes to show us that. So whether you love him already or not, think about Jesus this Christmas. Think about the God who came to earth to save you, who wants to be your friend this Christmas.